Well, I'm going to take a break from Romans for a few weeks and focus on the Advent. And this morning I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44, so I'll give you a minute to turn there. And while you're doing that, I just want to tell you a little bit about my week. It started with my in-laws getting here on Wednesday night, and then my wife's sister and her husband and two kids who got here on Thursday night. She didn't get off work until like 8 o'clock, and so it's an 8-hour drive, and they decided they wanted to leave that day, so they got here about 3 o'clock in the morning on Friday, and we had Thanksgiving meal on Friday afternoon instead of on Thursday, but it was a good time. But leading up to them coming took a lot of preparation, and I would venture to guess that those of you that had family over can probably relate to that. Cleaning house and buying the extra food that it takes to feed that many more people, and just preparing yourself emotionally and physically for that many more people to be in your house. And so I had to think this week, I wonder what it would have been like had we not known when they were coming or that they were even coming. We wouldn't have had enough food. I remember I was at the store Wednesday afternoon buying groceries, knowing that they were coming. And Jenny was calling me and saying, I just remembered this, buy this, pick this up. And so, but if we hadn't known they were coming, I wouldn't have been at the store Wednesday. And so they would have gotten here and we wouldn't have had food. We had to borrow an air mattress from the Davises to put more people somewhere to sleep. We have one and we needed another one. And so, and our girls were made arrangements to sleep in the living room and were prepared for that. And so they knew that that was happening. And so while it was different, we were prepared for it because we were aware. But today I want to look at a group of people who, although they were given a warning, weren't necessarily prepared for what was about to happen. And it's important to note here that Jesus isn't legalistic when he's talking about Scripture. He doesn't just say, well, this is what it says and this is what it means. And the Sermon on the Mount is an example of that, when he repeatedly makes the reference to a command in the Old Testament, and then he expands on it. He says, but I say to you, it was said this way, you heard it this way, but now I say to you this. And this is another example of that in Matthew chapter 24. It's a story that we're all familiar with. It's a story of Noah and the ark and what happened there. But Jesus, in his wisdom and in his knowledge, enlightens us with new meaning to this story that we're also familiar with. So let's read together Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would have not let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So not unlike visiting family, we have an idea that Christ is coming. We don't have a specific hour or day, and he tells us that that's not really for us to know. Our job is to be ready, because he is coming at some day. And that's what this first Sunday of Advent is about, the Hope Sunday. It's about the hope that they shared over 2,000 years ago at the coming of the King, but it's also about the hope that we share in today for the second coming, when Christ will come back and judge the living and the dead, and you know all the things that we read about, the new heaven and the new earth. And I'm more excited about this than ever, thanks to the class that Joe teaches on Wednesday nights. Just about the new things that I really never knew about heaven. I've been enlightened, and it's exciting to see. But it's important for us to take a page out of the book of these guys back in Noah's day who, although they were given warning, weren't prepared at all. The two versions of Noah's story can be joined together, but let's consider how Jesus tells his version and why. As with the Sermon on the Mount, what he does is he expands and he deepens the meaning behind the story. He deepens the significance of this text that we're all so familiar with. He retells the story of Noah, as I stated before, to illustrate how it will be at the second coming. The separation of those taken and those left doesn't depend so much on our behavior as it does on our preparedness, on our awareness, on our capability to recognize Christ when he gets here. And the only way to do that is by being in communion with him now. A lot of you guys know that I spent this fall a couple weeks in Colorado for my master's work. And the way that I got to Colorado was I chose to fly. And if any of you have flown, especially in the last 10 years, you know that there's a lot of preparation that goes into flying. You have to make sure that your carry-on luggage is ready to be checked. If you have a laptop, it's got to be in something that you can pull out and put in there. And you got to wear shoes that you can slip off and slide through the machine and put them back on. And there's a lot that goes into traveling these days. You have to have the certain size liquid containers if they're going to be in your carry-on and all these other rules that are for our safety. But if you go to the airport and you're not prepared, you're not aware of these things, you're in for some delays. And I was prepared for all of this when I went to Colorado, but on my way home, what I wasn't prepared for was a terminal change at the last minute for my connecting flight in Dallas. And so I hopped on the plane in Colorado Springs, and I flew to Dallas, and about 15 minutes before we land, the flight attendant starts reading off the connecting flights and what terminal you need to go to. So I listened for my flight, and she said, Dallas-Fort Worth to Des Moines, and she gave me the terminal number that I needed to be at and even what train I needed to hop on at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport to make it to this terminal. And my layover was only 30 minutes, which isn't a lot. And so I looked at the map. They have a map there in the seat pocket, and I looked and I said, all right, I've got to go from this point to this point. It's pretty far, so I'm going to have to hurry. And so I get off the plane, and I have to wait for my carry-on because the flight from Colorado to Des Moines is a smaller plane, so they grab your carry-on and throw it under the plane. So I wait for my carry-on. It's one of the first off, so I'm fortunate there. I grab it, and I take off running. I hop on the tram, which is down, by the way. In Dallas, they run two trams. One goes one way, and one goes the other. And it would have been a quick ride this way, but they were only running it this way. So what would have been about a two-minute ride in the tram ended up taking me about 15 minutes to get all the way around. So there's half my layover gone. And so I'm running off the tram. I go down the escalator, and people aren't in a hurry are standing there letting the escalator take them, and others that are trying to squeeze in and run down the thing, and so I'm following them. I get to the terminal, and I ask, are they boarding yet? And she said, for what flight? And I say, Des Moines. And she said, oh, that's moved. It's this terminal now, which is like about 9 or 10 terminals down. And at Dallas, that's a long way. And so I take a deep breath, and I grab my bag and I start running. And the farther I run, the more I realize this is a lot farther than I thought it was. Because numerically, it was only about 6 or 7 terminals over. But between this one section and this other section was a big line of like restaurants and bookstores and bathrooms. And so there's like, it took me a while. Anyway, I get there and I'm sweating and I'm breathing hard and I catch my flight. But my point is if I wasn't prepared to hurry already, if I didn't grab my carry-on and I didn't run in the first place, if I thought, well, I've got 30 minutes, it's just down here and I could walk and make it and, you know, be there just in time, I probably would have missed my flight. And I've missed a flight before, and that's expensive because then you have to catch the next flight and you have to pay to transfer your flight. And so it would have cost me a lot. But luckily, I was prepared and was able to connect. Now, if you're traveling and you're distracted, there's a good chance that it could cost you. There's a good chance that you could miss your flight, that you could have to skip a meal, that you could have to pay extra, that you might lose your luggage. There's lots of things that could happen. And so it's important when traveling to be focused on traveling and what it takes. Well, in the Christian walk, it's important to be focused on what the goal is. And the goal is to glorify God and receive eternal life with him in heaven. which will happen ultimately at the second coming when Jesus comes to set things right. But if we're not prepared now, if we're not aware now, then we're going to relate a lot to these other people that are in Noah's day. See, people who fly are governed by a single reality, that no matter where they are, in a taxi cab, in the tram to the next terminal, sitting in a restaurant, wherever they are, it doesn't matter because the plane will land and leave when it's scheduled to do so. And so in our lives, it doesn't matter where we are. When Jesus comes, he's coming. And he's not going to wait for us to get to the terminal or to catch the right tram. And so it's important for us to take heed of the warning that Jesus is giving here and to be prepared. This Advent season, which starts today, is an invitation to the reality that Christ is coming. Not only in the weeks leading up to Christmas, but through the entire year, we need to be aware of this. We need to set our minds and hearts on the things to come. To put forth the effort that it takes, just like when we're traveling, or just like when family comes over, all the preparations that we take to make things easier, to make transitions more smooth, we need to be doing in our everyday life with Christ. Putting in that time to get to know him better. In our Sunday school class this morning, we talked about whether or not we really love God as much as we say we do or as much as we ought to. And I think for all of us, the answer is no. It has to be. Because God's love for us is perfect. And it clearly tells us in the Bible that we fall short. This is not something that we should tell ourselves in order to get depressed, but it should give us hope. Because no matter where we are, God loves us right there. But his desire for us is to grow deeper with him every day. So that when he comes, we can say, I know you. You're Jesus. I've been waiting for you. I'm ready. Because I don't know what would have happened if I wasn't ready for my family to get there, but it would have been chaos. And we would have made amends. I mean, we would have made it work. But my fear is that if we're not ready for Christ, there's not going to be a chance to make amends. He tells us when he comes, he's coming. The time is now to make the decision because when he gets here, it's too late. And so in this season of Advent, on this Sunday of hope, my prayer for you is that you start preparing. That's what this season is about. To help us get in the mindset of preparation for the coming of Christ. And even after it ends, even after December 25th and after January 1st, my prayer is that continues to hold on to your heart. What am I doing to get ready? What am I doing to prepare for Christ's coming? And it's more than just reading your Bible. It's more than just praying. It's extending the love of Christ to other people. And this season, more than any, present opportunity to do that. We've got the adoptive family that the board is downstairs. That's just one of the many ways that you can extend the love of Christ to other people during this holiday season. So many people are without. And this time, more than any, makes it obvious. There's a reason that more people suffer from depression during this time than any other. It's because this is the time that reminds them how little they really have. This is the time that reminds them of what's important. And so those of us that are blessed with more than just finances, with the knowledge of the hope of Jesus Christ, this is our opportunity to bless them. To be Jesus to them. So I encourage you to take time during this next month and the new year that follows, to recognize that reality. Jesus is coming. Be prepared. Count your blessings and bless others as a result. And as always, I really just implore those of you this morning that haven't ever experienced that haven't experienced what it's like to know and hope and look forward to the coming of Christ, because you never have entered into that relationship with him. Don't wait. Don't say, I'll do it after this part of my life, or I just want to live and then I'll do it, or I'll do it on my deathbed, because we don't know. It's impossible to know. Jesus tells us right there. So I just encourage you this morning to search your heart and see if this is the day that you should enter into that relationship with him and join the rest of us in the terminal as we wait for him. Let's pray. Lord, as we enter into this Advent season and look forward to your coming, Lord, I pray that we're preparing. And that more than in just these next few weeks leading up to Christmas, Lord, but with our lives, that we devote ourselves to preparation. Through the practices that we can put into our daily lives to know who you are better and deeper each day. To counting ourselves blessed because of the things that you provide us. And knowing that they're not just for us, but that you bless us so that we might bless others. And Lord, every opportunity that you give us to share our faith, Lord, I pray that you give us the boldness to do so. And Lord, the humility to express that it's not anything that we do, but it's all from you. And Father, more than anything else this morning, I just pray if there's anyone here who doesn't have that relationship with you, but they don't wait, that more than just a time of preparation, this can be a time of new beginnings, of becoming a new creation in you, Jesus. We pray all these things in your precious and holy name. Amen.